with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be reading together verses 1 through 8. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be focusing on verses 6 and 7 specifically. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 1 in your Pew Bibles, it's page 1252. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you in those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For although I am present in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, and this is our text, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the last 25 years, we've seen some amazing changes, haven't we? Technologically, we've advanced greatly. With the coming of the internet, we've seen some radical changes in the way that we interact with one another. I think when you go back and you watch old episodes of Star Trek, and I'm a bit of a Trekkie myself, but you look at some of the things that they talked about then, things that they thought might become a reality, and it's amazing how many of those things are actually coming to pass. With just a click of a button, we can look up anything that we're interested in. With a few movements of the finger, we can be in contact with many different people through TikTok or through chatting or through Facebook. Today, that information is almost instantaneous. You can follow what's happening with COVID all the way around the world. You can receive every bit of news. You can keep up with friends all over the world. It's never been easier to communicate. But today, brothers and sisters, we have received so much information. I think really it's an information overload. We're inundated with so many messages, we're inundated with so many different perspectives, so many points of view, and we're forced to digest so much today. In some ways, I envy those who work in the fields, those that have a connection with the land, those that perhaps work outside most of the time. You're away from media, you're away from computers, you're away from this constant chatter. At times, at least for me, it makes my head spin. Sometimes I wish for simpler times, but God, we know, did not put us in past times. He's called us to the present time. But because there are so many convincing voices about what is right and what is wrong, about what you ought to believe and what you ought not to believe, about what road you should take, there's so many decisions that we have to make every day, don't we? About what we watch, about what we read, about the things that we do. Now, in this book of Colossians, Paul warns against those that would deceive you. Those that would deceive you with persuasive words. The Apostle Paul was concerned. He was concerned about the church. He was concerned that the church was going to keep going. Paul wasn't there present with the church. This wasn't one of the churches that he had started like others, but he knew what they were up against. He knew the attacks that were coming against the church. He knew specifically that there were those who were attacking the core of Christianity, who Jesus Christ was. They were throwing doubt on that. There were those that were denying the deity of Christ. There were those that had fallen into legalism. There were those that were combining worldviews and making it sound like Christianity was one thing when in reality it was another. But here in our passage, Paul is saying to the church, challenging the church to stay the course. Not to get confused, not to be deceived, but to keep going, to keep walking faithfully with Jesus Christ. What he wanted to see in them was that they would go forward, that they would continue to face the challenges that they had all around them, and that they would actually progress and mature in their faith. We saw that this truth a little bit this morning, that really some of the things that we're facing right now are nothing new. What God wants to see in every generation of the church is that we face the challenges, the things that He puts particularly on our plate. And our theme this afternoon is living lives overflowing with gratitude, walking daily with Jesus Christ. We're going to look at verse 1, or verse 6 rather, first of all, and we're going to see what it means to walk with Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're going to see what it means to be rooted and built up in Him. And then thirdly, how to live a life overflowing in gratitude for what He has done. Let's begin with verse 6. Let's read it together again. Therefore, Paul says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. Now, Paul has just been talking to the church about the faith that he knew that they had in Colossae. In verse 5, he rejoiced in how well ordered their lives were, how strong they were in their faith. This is something that he has talked about since chapter 1, verse 3. You look at the way he gives thanks for them there. Turn back with me there if you have your Bibles open. Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have had for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing. So, brothers and sisters, Paul had no doubt that God had worked in their lives. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that God had worked in a powerful way. And even though the church was facing 1,000 challenges, even though they were being threatened in many ways doctrinally, even though there were attacks from the outside, and even though there were those on the inside that were thinking wrongly and living wrongly, Paul was very optimistic about the church, wasn't he? He saw that these Christians had committed their lives to Jesus Christ. He understood that they had been radically transformed by the gospel. It was very real. God's work of grace was very evident in the way that they had responded, the fruits that they had produced by faith. Verse 6 says, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, as Lord, continue to walk in Him. And what Paul is here saying is, look at what God has done in your life. Remember the miracle of your salvation. Remember the time when you received Christ. I want to stop right here for a minute. Sometimes today when we talk about receiving Christ, we might have kind of the wrong idea of a superficial raising of a hand. Perhaps someone who says that they believed or have committed their life in some way, but not really understood the gospel, not really understood what it meant to follow Jesus Christ with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think that's true. Sometimes that is the case. But what it means, brothers and sisters, and what Paul is referring to here, is there comes a point that every one of us has to understand the gospel. If you've lived many years in the world, you didn't grow up in Christian circles, if you didn't know Jesus Christ as a child, there was a point in your life where all of it became real for you. All of it became true for you. All of it you understood fully for the first time. Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Many times on the mission field, you preach and you preach and you don't know who is a believer and who is not. In our congregation, about half the people that were there, I wasn't really sure where they were at spiritually. But as pastors, we can preach with authority. We can say with certainty that if someone believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no doubt they will be saved. We understand that involves the work of the Spirit. We understand that the Spirit is the one that has to draw us, as we saw this morning. He is the one that needs to show us our sin. But Paul is here saying, remember what Christ has done in your life and walk in a way that reflects that reality. And this is in the imperative, it's in the progressive imperative, it's in progressive tense. The idea is to keep walking, walk and keep on walking. And the fact that Paul says that you have received Jesus Christ as Lord is very important, brothers and sisters. You see, there are those who have believed that it's possible for us to receive the forgiveness of our sins, we can receive the benefit of the cross without any real change in one's life. Used to be a teaching a number of years ago was called the Lordship Theology, where people would say, well, you're one of two types of Christians. You can be a carnal Christian. You can be one who has received Jesus Christ. You have received the forgiveness of your sins. And then there's the other type of Christian that has received Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Our understanding of Scripture is that there's only one type of Christian, and that is those who understand the work of Christ has fully paid the price for our sins. But at the same time, that needs to be reflected in the way that we live our lives. And here, Paul is speaking to new Christians, men and women just out of the world. And those of you who know what that's like, perhaps you've more recently come to faith in Christ. But you need to be reminded again and again of the truths of Scripture. You need to be reminded again and again of the basics of the gospel, of what it is that you're called to as a Christian. Sometimes when I talk about discipleship, I define it as simply walking beside someone new in the faith, being a real friend to that person, really helping that person understand what it means to walk, to take baby steps in the faith. For us who have grown up in Christianity, those who have received that from our youth or even as children, we've had that done by our parents, and that's a blessed thing. That's a wonderful thing. But when you, as an adult, having lived many years in sin and without Christ, you have a lot to learn, don't you? But that's an exciting time as well, and really there's nothing more joyful or more exciting than see someone actually leave their sin and begin to walk with Jesus Christ. Especially in the church, it's so good to see those who know Jesus Christ and begin to walk with Him. That enthusiasm that they have is incredible. They're excited, they're passionate, they want to share their faith with everyone around them. Many times new Christians are the first ones to bring their families and friends to church. Why? Because they want everyone to know what they have experienced. Yet they're also vulnerable, aren't they? They're baby Christians. They're just learning to walk. It's easy to begin when you're just taking those baby steps. It's easy to fall down, isn't it? It's easy to go off course. Just like small children, when they begin to walk, oftentimes they're falling and bruising themselves. So it is for the Christian. We fall down. We don't get things the first time. So Paul's saying to the church, look, continue to walk. Don't get discouraged when you fall down. Don't get discouraged when everything doesn't fall perfectly into place in your life. And this is why Paul says he exhorts the church many, many times to walk faithfully. In verse 10, he prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work. Chapter 4, verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom towards those outside, redeeming the time. So first of all, Paul encourages the church to walk and keep on walking. The second thing that Paul mentions in our passage is that we are to be rooted and built up in Him, to be established in the faith. And these are two word pictures that he's presenting to us, two images that we can understand in order to understand what he's saying. And the first is of a tree. Now, I want to talk to the children just for a moment here. I don't know, children, have any one of you ever seen a palm tree? Anyone? Has anybody been to Florida? Well, my kids, I see a few hands back there. My kids grew up in Mexico. They know what a palm tree looks like. But the amazing thing about a palm tree is the root system on a palm tree. If you look at the base, a lot of times they kind of grow out of the ground. And when a palm tree grows out of the ground, you begin to see just how the roots look. And it actually looks like little fingers that come out about this wide. And those roots, there's thousands of them that go into the ground. And that allows this kind of tree to grow in very dry places. Maybe you've seen them on a beach. Also, when there are big storms, it's amazing. Palm trees are the trees that actually can survive. When those winds, in our area, we had a Category 5 hurricane come through. It was quite an experience. And all of those trees, when you saw them, they were actually doubled right over, some of them almost touching the ground. The amazing thing about a palm tree is that because of the root system, those trees are able to withstand high winds and times of great drought. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul is saying here that we are to be rooted, that we are to be rooted in Jesus Christ. When we think about this, we need to ask the question, what does that mean practically? Well, turn with me to verse 3. It says there, in Christ, end of verse 2, in Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when we think about being rooted in Jesus Christ, what that means is that we are learning from Him. When you think about it, Jesus Christ, we know, is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the one who is part of God the Father, Son, and Spirit. He is part of the triune God that has created this world. He is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. He is all-powerful. But Paul here is saying, look to Jesus Christ. In Him there is everything, all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We can get an education in a lot of things. Some of you have perhaps gone to university. Some of you have master's degrees, and that's wonderful. But as Christians, we understand that Jesus is the one in whom true treasure and true wisdom is found. True knowledge. And when the Christian comes to know Jesus Christ, what happens? Well, he begins to dedicate himself to understanding who Jesus Christ truly is. He begins to look for answers. He begins to think through what he believes. He begins to look for answers in the Word of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we have answers, brothers and sisters? So many people today are looking for truth. So many people are looking for something solid on which to build their life, something to put their roots into. And Paul is saying here, look it, remember that Jesus Christ is the one that you need to build your life on. So the Christian is called to be grounded. The Christian is called to be rooted, to become more and more solid, growing in Christ, strengthened in Him, nourished through Him. And as Christians, again, we need to be careful who we're listening to. Sometimes we can think, well, I am a Christian. I'm solidly rooted in Him, in Christ. Yet Satan is always attacking. Satan is always making us doubt. Satan is always trying to persuade us that the things that we hear that are against the Word of God, those are the real truths on which we should be building our life. But brothers and sisters, Paul is saying, remember who Christ is. Remember to be rooted in Him. Remember to grow from Him. Because when the difficulties and trials come in your life, which they will, when you're confronted with wrong thinking, when people begin to oppose what you believe, a person who is rooted in Christ will not be uprooted. A person who knows Jesus Christ and is rooted in Him, yes, he might be bent in the storms of life, but he will not be uprooted. Paul here not only uses the metaphor of being rooted, but he also says here to be built up. To be built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our version it says established in the faith. And brothers and sisters, Paul is here using the idea of construction. How do we build a house? Well, we don't begin with walls. We don't begin with a roof. We begin with the foundation, don't we? And the idea here is not that we are doing the building. The idea is that Jesus Christ is the one who is building us up. And when we think about it, that's the truth, isn't it? That He is the one who has called us. He is the one that's brought us to Himself. He's the one who is shaping our lives. He's the one who is shaping every facet of our life. He is the one that is faithful even when we fail. We can say that God's fingerprints are all over the Christian's life. He is the potter, we are the clay. What Paul here is saying is that we need to have an utter dependency on Jesus Christ. It's from Him that we need to draw our strength daily. And it's only then, brothers and sisters, that we will truly have lives established in Him. Ephesians 3 says this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." It's beautiful, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, when we know that kind of love, when we see how Christ is working in our life, and when we are rooted and built up in Him, when we're learning to walk with Christ on a daily basis, what kind of people will we be? What is it that verse 7 says? It says, "abounding in thanksgiving." When you know how much you have been forgiven, when you know what Jesus Christ has done for you, Scripture says those who have been forgiven much will love much. And Jesus said that speaking to the prostitute that had come to Him in tears over her sin. The reality is that no matter if you have been a drunk or a prostitute, or if you have lived your whole life on the street, or if you have lived a normal life, a Christian life, you've grown up in a Christian family, the reality is every one of us here today has been forgiven much. And if you have been called to be a child of God this afternoon, you know the depth of your sin. You have received the greatest gift that anyone can receive, and that is the forgiveness of all of your sins. That's the wonderful thing about 1 John. It says that there is forgiveness for all of our sins. That is to say, there's nothing that we have done, there's nothing that we have, there's no way that we have offended God that He cannot forgive. Isn't that amazing? We can preach this message, we can speak this message anywhere and everywhere that we go. We can take this to the deepest and darkest places of the world. And so many times people tend to think, God can never forgive me for what I have done. But the beauty of the gospel is that there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. If you have been called to be a child of God, you know that. You know that forgiveness. You know what you have received. And what is the response to that kind of love by Christ? Well, it explains it here. It talks about the thankfulness that we're to have. And it has this idea. It says abounding in thankfulness. And it is reminiscent of what Psalm 23 says, that, you know, my cup runs over, and that idea of holding out our cup where God is filling that cup and He's filling it and filling it and filling it. And that's what God has done in our lives, hasn't He? When we pause and take a look backwards, we have so much to be thankful for. Especially as a church in Canada, we have been given so much. Churches like this, where we have families and children and parents and grandparents and even sometimes great-grandparents that have known the good things of following God. So few people have that. We've been blessed beyond measure. But brothers and sisters, at times when we're honest, we can focus on the things that we don't have. Sometimes in our life, we tend to think of all the things where we wish, the things that we wish God would change in our life. And sometimes that resentment or that jaded attitude that is persuasive or pervasive in our society, brothers and sisters, that sometimes creeps into our own life too, doesn't it? We sometimes tend to think, well, I would be happy if only this would change in my life. I would be happy if God would change that person, if God would change that circumstance, if my health would be somewhat better. If only. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that God calls us to be thankful at all times. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. It doesn't say when we feel like it, sometimes, no. It says in whatever we do, for everything God gives to us. And brothers and sisters, those who have walked with Christ for many years, you know that that's not an easy thing. For some of you, you've perhaps lost someone very important to you. And it's tough to be alone. And you're waiting for the day when you're going to see your loved one once again. That's difficult. Some of you perhaps struggle with illness. Some of you perhaps struggle with things that people don't even know about here in this congregation. Heavy things. But God, even in those times, calls us to have a thankful heart. When we talk about our witness in the world, brothers and sisters, when we talk about being a light, you know, especially in those times, in those dark times, in those difficult times, when by God's grace we're able to respond in faith and even with thankfulness, that's when people will notice. When we're able to respond to God's even difficult decisions that we don't always understand, but we're able to still respond in faith, loving Him. And brothers and sisters, this needs to be our prayer as the Church of Jesus Christ, that no matter the times that we live, that we would have this thankful heart. When we think of the world around us, we think of the many right now that are suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. In some ways, we know very little of suffering here. Think of all that's gone on in Afghanistan for those who have lost their lives, the church persecuted. But we know that even through the blood, even through the difficulties, even through the struggles, the Lord is with His church. And this is what the Apostle Paul was explaining to the church, that even though that they had difficult things to deal with, even though these attacks were real, even though the church in the New Testament times was persecuted, God calls us to a life of thankfulness, abounding in thankfulness. So this afternoon, this is the calling that God gives to us. That we wouldn't be deceived, that we wouldn't be persuaded, by those who are against the cross of Jesus Christ, but that we would look to Him, that we would be strengthened by Him, remembering what we have received in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and being thankful for everything that the Lord gives to us. May this be true of each one of us here present today. May this be true today and tomorrow, in the days and years ahead, that we would stand strong, not in our own strength, but in the strength that we are given through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, we praise You, Lord, we understand the, Lord, this great calling that we have been given. And Father, even as we've seen again how You call us to live lives of thankfulness, Father, we confess before You that we are often very unthankful. Lord, we tend to focus on the things that we don't have, the things that we would like to see happen in our life. But Lord, remind us again that we have received everything in Jesus Christ, everything worth living for, everything important. And Lord, help us to be able to look at our lives and see the blessing that You have given to us. And Lord, rejoice in the way that You have worked. And Lord, for those who are struggling right now, perhaps with loneliness, perhaps with sickness, Lord, we pray that You would be near to that person. Lord, that You would uphold them. Lord, even in this perhaps difficult season of life. And Lord, whether we're young or old, whether we're healthy or we're sick, Lord, that we would always, Father, even in the trials, even in the storms, be bent, yes, but not broken. Lord, we thank You, we praise You for Your goodness to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.